From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning.
Our text for this morning comes from Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Rich were the blessings of this day if all of us were filled with the Holy Ghost. The consequences of this sacred filling of the soul, it would be impossible to overestimate. Life, comfort, light, purity, power, peace, and many other precious blessings are inseparable from the Spirit's benign presence. As sacred oil, He anoints the head of the believer, sets him apart to the priesthood of saints, and gives him grace to execute his office aright. As the only true purifying water, he cleanses us from the power of sin and sanctifies us unto holiness, working in us to will and to do of the Lord's good pleasure. As the light, he manifested to us at first our lost estate, and now he reveals the Lord Jesus to us and in us, and guides us in the way of righteousness. Enlightened by His pure celestial ray, we are no more darkness, but light in the Lord. As fire, He both purges us from dross and sets our consecrated nature on a blaze. He is the sacrificial flame by which we are enabled to offer our whole souls as a living sacrifice unto God. As heavenly dew, He removes our barrenness and fertilizes our lives. Oh, that He would drop from above upon us at this early hour! Such morning dew would be a sweet commencement for the day. As the dove, with wings of peaceful love, He broods over His church and over the souls of believers, and as a comforter, He dispels the cares and doubts which mar the peace of His beloved. He descends upon the chosen as upon the Lord in Jordan, and bears witness to their sonship by working in them a filial spirit, by which they cry, Abba, Father. As the wind, He brings the breath of life to men. Blowing where He listeth, He performs the quickening operations by which the spiritual creation is animated and sustained. Would to God that we might feel His presence this day and every day.
Thank you.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. As Pastor Tamassian continues his series in 1 Thessalonians, he brings the next portion of a message called Comfort for Separated Saints. Verses 13 through 18 of chapter 4 deal with the blessed hope of Christians, the second coming of Christ. Yet this very prospect was creating unrest among some of the Thessalonian believers. They thought that somehow those who had already died would be at a disadvantage when Christ returned, and so they were full of sorrow. Paul calls upon them to look carefully at what the Scriptures have to say about this matter. Unlike the pagans, believers in Christ have a hope that is grounded in historical reality. Believers are in union with Christ. Consequently, they are united to one another. Christ's purpose is to gather all of his people into one place, heaven with him. Now here is Pastor Tamassian to continue this message, Comfort for Separated Saints.
Our union with Christ means that as Christ's time and death was temporary, so it is with his people. He was in the grave for a temporary period of time, indicating that so will be for all of his people too. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. So the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it dwells in you. Since that's the case, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Romans 8:13. There will be a quickening just as there was for the physical body of Christ, that it could not remain in the grave. It could not stay in the tomb. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, is the same spirit that will cause your mortal body to rise from the grave as well. It will not stay there forever. Thirdly, our union with Christ means that as Christ experienced a bodily resurrection, so will his people, just going on the back of what we said. It has to be temporary in nature. As he experienced a bodily resurrection, a physical resurrection, so will his people. Romans 8:23. We ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, that is to say, the redemption of our body. The experience of redemption as to the body. You think of what Paul has been dealing with. You think about what he has dealt with in Romans chapter 6 in relation to our union with Christ. But there's still this battle. And we are struggling with sin. And he goes on then to express that in a very autobiographical way in chapter 7. The struggle of the believer with sin. And so we groan. Believer, do you not groan within yourself? Is there not at times those waves of experience where you just lament, why am I such a sinner? How come I cannot get an absolute victory? And so you groan within yourself, waiting for the redemption of the body. When the body will be changed and transformed and made like unto his glorious body. This body that you have, this flesh that you wrestle with, you await its redemption. And it will come. Christ's body rose from the grave, so will yours. And then fourthly, our union with Christ means that as his humanity was glorified, so will it be for his people. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And there's a lot in 1 Corinthians 15 that is related to what we're dealing with here. As Paul gives us a clear understanding of the resurrection in the face of, again, a lack of understanding, a lack of teaching, and false teaching in relation to what is going to occur. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. There's two ways of saying essentially the same thing. This flesh can't go as it is into the place where God dwells. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So again, this is playing off of what is building upon and saying the same thing as what we're looking at. We shall not all sleep. In other words, there will be those that will be alive at this point of Christ's return. We shall not all sleep, but regardless of whether we're in the grave or living, we shall all be changed. All will be changed because all bodies belong to Christ. All believers belong to Christ. They're in union with him. And this change will take place in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Again, the dead in Christ raised first. We shall be changed as well. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And so this is the final victory over death, as he goes on to express. This is the full experience of Christ's redemptive work. That his death upon the cross, his resurrection from the dead, assures, because we are in vital union with him, that this body that causes us so much grief here will be transformed. And for those who have gone and leave their bodies in the grave, or wherever they may be left, they will be reunited with those same bodies, yet changed, glorified, made like unto Christ. That's what we read in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven. Our behavior is in heaven. Who we are belongs there. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Now, when he was on the earth in his ministry, his body did not look any more glorious than anyone else's. He looked just like any other Jew living in Israel at the time. But there's a transformation, a glory that was given as he rose from the dead. And that glory that prepared that humanity to enter in, to pass into the heavens, to be there where humanity, corruptible humanity, does not belong. Yet by taking our humanity and seeing it glorified and entering into the presence of God forever, he makes way for us. And by our union with him, we will experience the same blessing, a changed humanity, able to enter into the presence of God at the resurrection. So that's their union with Christ. Significant for us to understand this in relation to the portion that is before us, because it all hinges on this. The reason why this happens, the reason why Paul can express these truths and the fact that there will be the gathering of the saints in this way is because of their union with Christ. Then their union with all believers. Not only will Jesus Christ reappear again, but there will also be a reappearance of those that died in him. Again, the end of verse 14. Them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. The end of verse 16. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Far from being absent from the experience, as was the fear of those in the church, they will actually lead the way. They're actually going to be first in their experience now. It seems, going by 1 Corinthians 15, this all happens in such a rapid way that it's very difficult for us to discern exactly what comes first and so on. It seems just in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, all these things begin to occur. But Paul understands, Paul knows that this is the order. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And we read in verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. What a scene this is. Think of them. Think of them trying to receive comfort from his words, trying to understand what Paul is saying. The apostle is saying, look, you will see your loved ones again. Those children of God that have perished already, that have gone into eternity, we will all be collected and gathered on that day in bodies recognizable. You will see your redeemed loved ones. You will see those dear church members that you labored with for the cause of Jesus Christ. We will all be gathered, and gathered in a way unlike ever before experienced. All the church in one place. Never has that occurred before. All the church not separated by time, gathered unto Christ. This is what the head has assured for the body. Christ, as the head of his church, will gather all members together, and none will be disadvantaged. None will be left out. None will be set aside. None will be on the sidelines. All will be gathered. They must. They will all assemble round the Lord Jesus. What a day that will be. Again, the end of chapter 1, in verse 10 of this epistle, where he says, they wait for his Son from heaven. They wait for his Son from heaven. And you know, you read that at times and you think, well, had Paul led them to believe that most certainly Christ would return in their generation? It doesn't. We read that into it. We are all waiting for Christ to appear from heaven. All of us. In fact, those who already are dead, who have gone into eternity, are also waiting for his Son from heaven, as it were. Not in the same way, but they're waiting for the same event. They're waiting for the unification again of body and soul. They're looking for that. All the saints are waiting for Christ. And we on the earth, we wait for him. We do, we wait for him. We labor, we occupy till he comes. We're constantly going about the business as God has appointed us responsibilities and given us privileges to labor for him. But we all wait. We're not waiting in the sense like we're doing nothing, waiting until he comes. But there's an expectation he will return. He is coming back. And we go about our business and we discharge our duties faithfully, knowing deep down by the teaching of the Spirit of God, Christ will return. And when he does, what a scene. What a scene. All saints, all of them. Abraham, Isaac, everyone from Abel. Abel will be there. Finally, reunited with his body that was slain by his brother. He will be there. And every saint that has trusted in the blood of atonement since then will be there. Everyone for whom Christ died will be there. Nothing will prevent this. Nothing will stop it. Nothing will hinder it. Christ will see that his people will be gathered onto himself. And the way they died and the period in which they died and whatever else may be argued as to, well, this might, maybe because they didn't live a good Christian life, maybe because they continued in a condition of spiritual immaturity all of their days, that will not make a difference. Nothing makes a difference. The one question is this: was the soul in union with Christ? Were they joined to Christ? Do they have faith in Christ? Are they resting in Christ? They will be there. They will all be there. That brings us then, thirdly, to consider the triumph. The triumph. In verses 16 and 17, there's an air of triumph here. We read, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven." He shall descend from heaven. Well, this is the first note of triumph we see. The fulfillment of his promise. Go back to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Luke's gospel already gives us a scene of Christ's ascent, being carried up into heaven in Luke 24. But he begins the book of Acts in a similar fashion, reading from verse 9, Acts 1, verse 9. "When he," that is Christ, "had spoken these things while they beheld," that's the disciples looking on, "he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven.'" This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. The same Jesus. That is, a Jesus that you knew, who died and rose again, and ascends in this glorified humanity into the heavens. He will return. He will descend. This was what was promised. And Paul says this is what's going to happen. As he ascended into heaven, so he will descend. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. The Lord himself. Not a different one. Not an imposter. The only Redeemer of God's elect. The one who alone is the way, the truth, and the life. One of whom Peter says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." This one, this only one, will descend as he ascended. He will return in like manner. That's the fulfillment of his word. What a triumph that is, to know that what he has promised will come to pass.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.